Thank you for tuning in to the Crossover Podcast. We hope this message inspires you and grows your faith. To learn more about Crossover, visit our website at crossovernorman.com or find us on Facebook and Instagram at Crossover Norman. Enjoy the message.
Can I get a boomer? If you love Jesus, say I do. Man, we are so thankful that you are here tonight. I know that some of you have traveled out of town. You have come here for a very special night, and we want to welcome you to Crossover. I truly think that this Tuesday is going to be one of the best Tuesdays that Crossover has ever had. Not only because, that worship team just brought it, amen? Like, man, they proclaimed the word through worship. God's going to proclaim the word through his word. And man, we're going to have 20-something baptisms tonight proclaiming the word of Jesus, amen? Listen, it is a very expectant night, and we are very excited, but it does come with a little hardship. Amen, seniors? All right, and I know that it's a little hard because we are losing some of our seniors this evening, and this will be the last night that you will be at Crossover as a OU student, and we want to say we love you. Amen? All right. Now, for the last 4 years, you have listen to this bearded, balded guy talk about some crazy things. You know, I like to bring up a lot how my wife is way too good for me. She just proved it, all right? She's way too good for me. You've heard me use many grass illustrations, amen, all right? Hey, let's be honest, though. Who feels like they can really grow a good lawn after the last 4 years of grass illustrations? And you can't tell me it didn't hit you spiritually, all right? But let's be honest, seniors, I cannot let you leave without me talking to you about a couple things. You show me your friends, and you will show, and I'll show you your future, all right? And you are the average of your five closest friends, amen, all right? Hey, it's still true today, and it'll be true tomorrow, all right? I'm so thankful for you, though, seriously, on a serious note. I'm so thankful that your freshman year, it was the peak of COVID, and you piled in your cars at your dorm, which that's, hey, losing your dorm space, amen? Like, that's, hey, you got to be faithful. You're driving with faith, and you might park a mile away once you get back. But you piled in your car, you drove halfway across Norman, and we had an experience at Victory Family Church, did we not? God showed up. We were cram-packed in there, and we got to see God move in such a miraculous way your freshman year. And then God continued. God opened the doors to this building that we had been praying for 4 years, and we have seen God move in such a miracle way in the last 4 years. It is absolutely amazing. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for showing up week in, week out. Thank you for showing up during midterms, during hard times, maybe during breakups. Amen? All right? Maybe some of y'all have showed up every week being impatient and single. All right? You're like, Lord, there's hundreds of students. Why can't you just give me a boyfriend? Right? Like, thank you for showing up even when it was hard. But thank you for loving the worship team. Man, they have felt loved and encouraged. Thank you for loving my family. And lastly, thank you for loving me. It has been such an experience to be prayed for, to be loved on, to be encouraged by you seniors. It has been a true life experience to be your minister for the last 4 years. And I just want to say on a side note, thank you for serving and loving Jesus so well these last 4 years. Because of your faithfulness and because of how much you have done for Crossover, we have seen hundreds of students come to Christ. All right, let's give it up for these seniors. Come on now. With that said, while your job at OU may be coming to an end, or for some of us, it's coming shortly, all right? Seniors will tell you how quickly the last 4 years have gone by. I think that the word that God wanted me to speak, it might be short tonight, but the word that God wanted me to speak, I think, will be able to penetrate the souls of all of us. I think it's something that we all can grab onto and run with. Now, let me set the stage for just a second. Jesus is preaching This is on the sermon. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching to a large crowd, and he's telling these people some of the things and expectations that he wants for the followers that he has. He teaches us things like, I want you to be the light of the world. That is appropriate in the way that God wants you to handle it. I want you to serve the needy. He even teaches us how to grow closer to God and teaches us how to pray and how to fast. And then towards the latter part of his sermon, he hits us with Matthew 7 when he talks about not everyone who comes to me at the gates of heaven saying, Lord, Lord, will enter the gates of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father will be able to enter the gates of heaven. Like the Sermon on the Mount, if you don't know it, you need to go study it. But smack dab in the middle of the sermon, he told me something. He goes, this is what I want you to preach on. The title of it was, Do Not Be Anxious. Do not be anxious, aka, don't worry. Now, do we have anybody who worries in this room? Come on now. Okay. Who's worried about their future job, future spouse? And everybody raises their hand. Yep, I knew that was coming. All right. And Jesus says, if you are a follower of Jesus, we have no reason to be anxious. We have no reason to worry. If you will turn with me to Matthew 6:25. And it says this. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? You need to tattoo that on your body, all right? And why are you being anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying what we shall eat, what shall we drink, or what we shall wear, for the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus says this, students, for you to overcome your worries and your anxieties is for you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So as you are taking your next steps in this life, no matter where you are at, when worry comes upon you, you have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But how do we do that? Like how do we overcome this worry and anxiety? Jesus says, first and foremost, we shouldn't be worried about the food that you eat. He says, look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns because the Father provides for them. And what that means is that the bird lives each day, not worried about tomorrow. They do life today. They eat when they can, and they do life when and how they can. And the Father provides for them. Now, students, you're about to enter the real world. And for those of you who are about to enter the real world, how can we contextualize this just a little bit? We might not be worried about the food that we're going to eat. We're worried about the job that's going to pay for the food that we're about to eat. What's the reason why we shouldn't worry? Jesus says, if the Father feeds the birds in the air, he's going to feed you. Why? Why will he feed them? Are you not of more value than them? See, I think some of us, we don't have a worry problem. I think we have a value problem. And the reason why we worry so much is because we just don't know how valuable we are to our Father in heaven. And your value of life is out of whack because you feel like you need to worry about something. You need to worry about your future job and about everything that happens after college. And the reason why you worry so much is because you just don't know how valuable you are to your Father in heaven. And when you worry so much, what happens is that you take God off of the throne of your heart and you put worry back on the throne where it's not supposed to be, and all you do is worry. Now, why should you not worry? Jesus says it's because you are valuable. How valuable are you, students? Think about this. You are so valuable that God sent his only Son to die for you. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe that holds it in his hands, that God sent his only Son to die for you. And he doesn't just save you now. He will save you for all of eternity. And he didn't only send his Son to die for you so you can have life and have it everlasting. He then, once you become saved, once you trust that Jesus Christ came and died for you and rose again on the third day, once you have trusted, then he sends a Spirit into you. He doesn't just leave you high and dry. He then gives you the Spirit to walk with, to talk with, to love you, to lead you, to guide you, to shape you, to mold you, to be the person that you need to be. He gives us wisdom when we need it. I would say that that's pretty valuable. And when you realize how valuable you are to God and that what cost God paid in order to give you life, the more you will seek his kingdom and the more you will seek his righteousness. And when you know God's value more than anything else, and the fact that he has what is best for you, and you live seeking and you live following him, your worry takes off of the throne and you start to be able to worship. And whatever your future holds, God's going to take care of it. And because your Father values you, you know that he's not here to just leave you and forsake you. No, he is here to be with you, not only now, but forevermore. You are valued by the Lord. I truly believe you can understand and be able to see how much do I really know how valuable I am by how much I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because when that weight falls on you and you see how valuable you are and how gracious and merciful God is, you want to seek his kingdom. You want to grow his kingdom. And you want to be the followers of Jesus that he wants you to be. We need to know our value, but then he says, we're not to worry about what we will wear. And if God grows and clothes the lilies in the field, how much more can he grow and clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, he says. He says that the Gentiles worry about what they will eat, what they will drink, what they will buy, what their future holds, what everything is. You shouldn't worry about those things because you don't have to worry about that because the Father knows what you need. What that tells me is when you worry about what is next, when you worry about the jobs or your incomes or your houses or spouses, you're thinking like a non-believer who is trapped only thinking about what this world can provide or what I can provide, and you only are worried about the kingdom in which you are building yourself. Where there is worry, there is not faith. And where there isn't faith, there isn't worship. And when you worry, you can't worship because worry and worship cannot coexist. And when you worry, what Jesus is saying is your focus is taken off of the kingdom of God and it's placed on your worries and it's placed on your own kingdom. Listen, when I was in seventh grade, I went to Burke Burnett Junior High. Back in Texas. Anybody know what Burke Burnett, Texas is? If you pass it and you sneeze, you'll miss it. All right, that's about how big it is. I remember seventh grade. It was a trying year, but there was a good thing and a bad thing that happened. We were sitting at the lunch tables, and I was sitting with my boys, and these group of girls walked up, and they're all kind of giggling and smiling at us. You know, I didn't pay any attention to them because I was reading my Bible and praying because I was super holy. You know what I'm saying? Just kidding. I was like, hell, the girls are coming. All right. And anyways, one of the brave girls, remember the brave friends that we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago? She goes, hey, Brent, Michelle wants to say something to you. And all my boys are like, all right, what is it? And Michelle's like, I think you're kind of cute. And then they all like snorkel and like run away. And my boys are like riling me, calling me cutie pie for the rest of the day. I mean, but I was pretty proud. I was like, man, Michelle, she's pretty. Yeah, that's great. I didn't know what to do with it at that point, right? It lasted, that happiness lasted for about 20 minutes. And then the lunch bell rang and we had to go back to our class. And then all of a sudden, I hear rumors about the class bully, the school bully who had failed two grades. His name was Michael Leon. I didn't know this, but he had already called dibs on Michelle. And he wanted to fight me because she said I was cute. Seriously, junior high, right? And for the next two class periods, I mean, going in and out of class, guys, I was like a snake, right? I was weaving in and out of people. I was looking to see if Michael or his goons were around, and like I ran right, set front row. Like I didn't want to get beat up because Michael could have destroyed me. All right, thought I was clear. School got out, and I'm going to football practice, and I'm putting on my pads, and we go out. There's about 80 of us that are playing. And we're stretching, and then all of a sudden, I see it. I see the pack of Michael Leon and his goons coming out. And guys, I was like, I don't know. I blended in so well. I found the biggest guys, and I hid behind them, right? The coach, I was behind him. Like, I was scared, right? And then they were there about 8-10 minutes, and then all of a sudden, coach blew his whistle. It's like, Russell, your turn. And then all of a sudden, me and Michael Leon lock eyes. And no lie, he's like ready to go. I mean, he's ready to thump. And I'm going to get thumped. All right, if it happens. I'm looking for exit strategies. I was like, there's no way out of here. Like, when practice is over, it's just going to be me getting my face smashed in. All right, and I'm scared. I don't know what to do. But guess what happens? For some reason, I see this presence appear around the corner, and it's a 6'1", 265-pound man that I call Father. And he shows up for some reason. Whatever meeting he had ended early, all right? It ended early, and he wanted to catch the end of practice before he picked me up. And he came, and he stood right next to Michael Leon. Michael knew who he was. And he's like, hi, right? And I was like, that's right. That's my dad, right? It's my dad. Ain't nobody gonna touch me when daddy's around, right? Listen. When my father showed up, my fear went away. Because when he is around, no one was going to mess with me. My fear was washed away when my father was brought back into the equation. Students, the only way for you to turn this little faith into big faith is when you bring your father into the equation. And when you start to fear your future, and when you start seeing your world crumbling around you, you bring your father into the equation, and you see how much you are valued, and how much he loves you, and how much he cares for you. And you know that he provides even for the birds in the air and the lilies on the fields, and he will provide for you. Bring your father into the equation. And when that happens, your fear can turn into faith because you know your father has what is best for you. Worry and worship can never coexist. So you bring your father into the equation, and God will come and not only save your life, but he also wants to bring you life. Don't walk in worry. Walk with your father. So what can I leave you with for this one last message before you go into the real world? seek first the kingdom of God. And the only way that you can do that is when you know your value. And when you know your value, then you can turn your little faith into big faith by bringing your Father into this equation. And when you do this, then you can take worry off of the throne and you can put God back on his throne and you see how valuable you are and you see how much he takes care of you, and then you can seek his kingdom and do what he says, and it is so much better than anything that this world can provide you. Students, worry and worship can never coexist. Live like you know your Father is going to take care of you and provide for you. Amen?